My brother, come and let me pray with you.
He's been doing a series on In Christ. We got him on the website. In Christ 1, In Christ 2, In Christ 3. Is this going to be 4? This going to be In Christ 4? Well, I didn't get 3 up yet, but I'm working on that. And so go out there and listen to the series In Christ. It's a powerful, powerful concept that God has placed before us. Father, thank you for this man. Oh, Lord, we just pray today that you touch him. Father, remind him of everything that you've spoken to his heart, every truth that you've given him. Let nothing slip. Sharpen his mind, his body. Make him strong, make him stronger, and make him even stronger, spirit, soul, and body, to be a tool and an instrument in your hand today to speak your truth to us that we so badly need in our lives. Bless him, Lord, and be with him. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Well, you know where we're going. You probably know this by heart, so you may not need to go there. But we're going back, and today we're going to finish up that final series on 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, old things have become new. And as we finish up that last part, let's remember that this was a message that was preached at one time or at one sitting in England back in the 1800s by a man named Charles Spurgeon. So I'm sure that it took the majority of the afternoon, probably several hours, to get through this. And so we've broken it up into 4 parts. And so we're going to continue to work on this and continue to think about it and talk about it. And by the way, I want to say this about our Tuesday night Bible study. We have a Tuesday night Bible study that's just fantastic. Everybody that comes here just keeps coming back, and we're getting into the Word. We have anywhere from 10, 12, 14 people come on Tuesday night, and it's just a joy to be a part of this. And as we're studying on through Matthew and studying on through the Bible, and it's just good to be in God's Word. Amen. We want to talk about new things today. And we want to talk about old things. And we want to talk about how to make or how to turn old things and old habits and old behaviors over to Jesus and let Him, through the power of God, turn them into new things. Now, we all know about turning old things into new things. I got a bunch of old shoes that I wear. I got a pair of shoes that I keep on the back porch that I've had for about 10 years. It's a pair of work shoes. And I just keep them throwed on the back porch. I never polish them. I never clean them. I just wear them. They got every kind of paint and scuff on them that you can imagine. But you know, God can take an old pair of shoes and He can make a new pair of shoes out of them. He can take an old junk car and He can make it like a brand new car every day. Running good, looking good, shining, feeling good. And God has that ability to create and make things. And we got several people in the church here today. In fact, everybody in the church who can testify to that, because you remember a time in your life when you might have been like an old shoe. Like an old shoe. Scuffed up, beat up, scratched up, scarred up. And all of a sudden, when you gave your heart to Christ Jesus, He turns you into a new creature. And all things that were old became new again. And you have been created a new person in Christ Jesus. So everybody can relate to that. Everybody has been there and done that. That's in this church. And once we get there, of course, it's our work to try to bring as many other people who look like an old shoe to Jesus Christ. Old things becoming new. In general, We have a lot of old things in our life. Or we had a lot of old things in our life. A lot of old junk. Do you remember a time in your life when you just had your life was cluttered with junk? Can you remember that? Some of that junk was attitudes, jealousies, bad, unforgiving spirits, enviness, drunkenness, strife, and a defiant heart battling against God. How long did you battle against God before you finally found out you couldn't beat Him? How long did you battle against God and say no? How long did it take before you finally broke down and gave Him your whole heart? And you just caved in to Christ Jesus. I know a young man who, just a few years ago, Bill, you remember, Jeff, called him Crab. And Crab, or we'll call him Jeff by his real name. He came to church here a few times and, he got to know some of us, and I remember him, and I know Bill remembers him. But Jeff had gotten out of jail, or out of prison, and, he was still fighting against God. Still doing the same old things, but he was coming to church trying to have a facade like a lot of us have done. And, it wasn't too long, too many months before Jeff got back in trouble again. Back in jail, and was going back to prison for his second time. Well, in between these two prison stints, I went down to the Leon County Jail, and I visited with him. And I didn't know what to expect. I just went down there to try to encourage him, because I knew that'd be the last time I saw him. I was shocked when I got down there. He had turned his whole life around and turned his life over to Jesus Christ. He gave up. He gave up. And you know what he told me when I was talking to him about this? He said, I'm tired of fighting God. He said, I can't fight Him no longer. He finally won. And he went to prison that time with a new heart and a new mind, and that was of Christ Jesus, because he'd been recreated and he'd become a new creature. Old things had passed away and become all things become new. I know he's out now again. I haven't seen him, hadn't heard from him, but I'm sure that he's walking with the Lord. Have you heard from him, Bill? Yeah. Well, maybe he's not, Bill. Maybe he's not. But anyway, Jeff had told me that he was just completely, tired of fighting against God. You know, when we fight against God and we live in our old self and the old things and the old way we are, I've talked to you about this before. It's kind of like walking in a dead body, being a dead man walking. And you need Christ Jesus to revive you and make you a new creature. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly. Very familiar passage of scripture here. Depicts new life starting over through the power of Almighty God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul is talking to some people that had been dead, that were buried in their sin. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan now when you read that. In other words, they had been walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Dead men walking around. Dead men who needed to be revived. Dead people who were dead in their sins, and they needed to be hooked up with Jesus and in Jesus, so that when they were resurrected, they could rise forth in the glory of Almighty God. That's what each of us has done. That's what each of us has went through, that metamorphosis that we talked about last week. Remember that the cocoon goes in its little shell and dies and comes forth in the spring of the year as a beautiful butterfly. That's what happens to God's children when they give up the old life and when they spring forth and come forth as a new person and as a new creature. But here comes the Word. And the Word is behold. You see that word behold in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Behold. That means to see. That means to look at, to identify with. It's something special that the person sees. I looked up that word in the concordance yesterday or this morning to look at for some specific scriptures that had behold in it. Do you know that the word behold is in the Bible hundreds of times? Hundreds of times. Behold. Behold. Look at. Identify with. Recognize. So that's what Paul is saying here. Recognize and see that even though you were in old things, now all things have become new. Old things have passed away. I like putting on new clothes. Do you? I like going to JCPenney once every 2 years and buying some new clothes. I like putting on new clothes. Brother Leroy was here a week or so ago, and as soon as I looked at him, I knew he had on new clothes. And I told him, I said, "You been to JCPenney?" He said, "No, my wife has. I don't go shopping." But I recognized that he had on brand new clothes. I'd never seen them before. It's fun. It gives you a good feeling to put on new clothes, to dress up, get your hair combed, and just look presentable and look nice. It gives you an aura about you. It makes you just feel nice and feel good. And that's the way it is when Christ Jesus changes a person. It makes you feel good. I've seen so many people that I've known over the years that were lost. They had bad attitudes. They grumbled. They complained. Nothing suited them. Any and everything was a reason for them to go off. And after the Lord Jesus came into their heart and made them a new creature, I've watched them just completely change. A smile on their lips. No complaining. If things happen and bad things happen, they just take it right in stride. It's just another little hill I got to step over. And I got to go over. They don't fall apart in crises, and they just shine like a new penny. Jesus will make you feel that way. He'll take a lot of those old sins and all those old bad habits that we have, and all those addictions and all those situations, and just give us a whole new life. He'll give us a new vocabulary. Once you met Jesus Christ, there is no more excuses for using bad language. Can I say that one more time? When you have met Jesus and become a new creature, there is absolutely no more reason for bad language in your life. You have no reason. Miss D, she's fine. Leave her here, please. Just leave her here. She's fine. She's a good, she preaches, she's a help, she helps me preach. She's fine. And, it's just a whole new feeling. All of those old things that you used to have, bad language, bad attitude, bad this, bad that, is changed, and now the person begins to think good thoughts. They are quickened, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. They're changed. They are quickened. They are raised from the dead, back from where they were, up to a new life in Christ Jesus, because they are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus, remember, after 3 days, arose from the grave. The Bible tells us that we are buried in Him. We died with him. Jesus said a hill of corn can't come unless the kernel dies first. It has to be buried. And then guess what happens? That small little kernel of wheat or corn will break forth and burst forth into a plant, and it will bring forth much fruit. And that's what happens to us. As long as we're in the dead state, or killed, or dead, and walking in our sin, we have no productivity. We have no fruit. We will bear no fruit because we are dead. But once we die in Christ Jesus and are raised forth from the dead with Christ Jesus, then we can bear fruit. That's why we baptize people. Being baptized will not save you. We baptize people not by sprinkling, but by emerging in water, and it's only a celebration. It's no saving power in it, but it's to celebrate and to do what the Lord Jesus has told us to do. To be buried in water and raised again is to signify that being buried and brought back from life. Let's look over at Corinthians chapter 4. And I got to see which one that is. I didn't write it down. Second Corinthians. Let's take 50. We'll have a 50-50 shot at it. We're talking about blindness here. And we're talking about not being able to see. It's a terrible thing not to be able to see. I know that some people are born blind, and some people become blind through some accident or disease in life. But to be blind is a terrible, terrible situation. But to be able to see and reveal light is a wonderful, wonderful situation, and to be able to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Paul's talking here to the Corinthians. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You see that? If our gospel, in other words, if our gospel, the gospel that God has given to us, And given us the commission to go out into the world and share the gospel, and I've shared the gospel with a lot of people, not nearly as many as I wish I had, or not many as I should have, but I have shared the gospel with a lot of people. And the first, you're going to get a reaction. I have never failed to get a reaction from people when you share the gospel with them or you mention the name of Jesus. Jesus has got the most powerful name there is. You say his name, there's power in it. Things change immediately. Sharing Jesus with people all over, not just in this neighborhood, sometimes with my family members. When you mention the name of Jesus and to introduce them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, like what Paul is talking about here, you're going to get some reaction. The reaction that I love to get is people's eyes start shining and a smile comes on their face and they start talking about Jesus with you. Praise the Lord, I know what Jesus has done for me. I go to church at wherever and I was saved when and Jesus is an important part of my life. You know what? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that stuff's going to come out of you. When the conversation comes up in the break room at work about Jesus Christ, that stuff's going to come out of you. Praise, admiration, honoring, and glorifying Jesus. But I'm afraid some people that I talk to about Christ Jesus and I give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus, sometimes I get a completely different reaction. Sometimes I just get a dead blank stare. Complete indifference. Or sometimes I actually get told where to go, what to do. Preacher, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to hear that. Let's talk about something else. Or sometimes they'll invariably start telling you about their mother, where their mother, my mother was a good Christian woman, and she went to church down there at Assembly, the God Church down on Tennessee Street. Well, that's great. What about you? You hit this block wall, so to speak, and you hit this indifference. And that's the blindness that Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you bring up the name of Jesus and a person's eyes don't light up and a person's attitude doesn't change immediately and they don't join in with you talking about Jesus, you can pretty well take that as an indication that they're blind and they have never seen Christ Jesus before. And they can't see Christ Jesus until God opens their eyes. But the Bible says here, going on, in whom the God of this world, and that is Satan again, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Listen to this. Now, there's something really, really neat about this. Let's look at verse 6, and then let's think about another time in the Bible, in Genesis, when God said, "Let there be light." Verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, when we come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's Holy Spirit moves on us, and we are presented with the gospel, we will see the light. We will not walk in darkness anymore if we choose to open our eyes and acknowledge Christ Jesus. Until we are able to acknowledge and accept Christ Jesus as our Savior and cave in completely to Him, we are walking in blindness, is what the Bible says. That's why when you go to share the gospel with somebody, and they give you that indifferent look, or I don't care look, or I don't want to hear this kind of look, the reason is because they can't see the light. Because God's light cannot shine through the darkness. Or God's light cannot shine through your darkness if your heart is so dark you don't want to see it. God's light can shine anywhere. Now look at this. Now we read that in 2 Corinthians. Now let's look back at Genesis chapter 1. God said when he was doing the creating, and remember we're talking about new creatures, our new creators. God said, God's word said that in Genesis that he said, "Let there be light." Can you imagine that moment when everything was completely dark? No sound, no matter in the universe. It was dark. I went down in a cave in Dallas, Texas, outside of Dallas, Texas one time. We went way down in an elevator, several stories down below the earth, and then we came into this big room. In this old big room, we found a lot of, they had already found it, they were just showing it to us. We saw all kinds of animal skeletons. And one that I recall, as we got down in the bottom of that cave, about 10 stories beneath the earth, there was a, they had lights on, there was a saber-toothed tiger skeleton over there, perfectly intact. Do you know how big those things were? This thing was about 12 feet long. About 12 feet long, and his shoulders were about that high. His fangs were about this long. And I said, my, what an animal. They used to bring down dinosaurs. But we were in this cave and we saw all these interesting and cool things. And then the guy that was our leader and our person who our host who carried us around, he said, "Now, how many of you know what darkness looked like?" Of course, everybody was in the light then. They raising their hands. "Yeah, I've been in the dark before, real dark," he said. And he said, "Let me show you what real darkness is." And he reached over there and he hit the switch and all the lights went out. We're 10 stories underneath the ground. Complete black darkness. You could do your hand in front of your face like that. You couldn't see anything. There was no light specks. There was nothing. It was complete blackness and complete darkness. Now that is the way that a person is when they don't know Christ Jesus. They are walking in complete darkness. And we're running over there, aren't we? Yeah. Complete. Maybe I'm the one that just gets hot up here preaching and y'all sitting back and y'all are cool. But that's how dark it is in a person's heart who doesn't know Christ Jesus. And they need to be recreated and they need to be reborn. Turn over to John quickly as we take a look at what Jesus is. Let's read in the first chapter of John. First five verses. Really, really good reading here. First five verses of chapter 1. John. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And you could say, "Well, preacher, I thought God was the creator." That's what Genesis said. It certainly does. God is the creator God. Jesus is the creator God. Jesus was with God when things were created. When God said, "Let there be light," Jesus was there. Jesus spoke all things into existence. And you say, that sounds like a contradiction there. No, not if you remember that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God are one. Three persons in one. So it was God speaking, Jesus speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking. Speaking things into existence there in the beginning. In Him, in Jesus, was life. And the light was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We see there again. If they see the light and they're walking in darkness and you try to focus them on the light, they can't see it. It's dark. They can't understand it. They're depraved. They can't help themselves. They are completely lost. The light shines through the darkness. Darkness, listen to me, has always been a representative of evil. And light has always been a representative or an example of goodness. And there's always been a struggle between wickedness and evil and righteousness. It's been going on ever since man was created. It started off in the Garden of Eden when righteous man faced evil temptation and man fell. And evil has been in us ever since. There's a struggle going on there. It's always been that way. Evil against goodness. Light against darkness. The one thing that we know is that darkness will never, ever, ever, ever rule over light. Darkness will never rule over light. Darkness may appear to overwhelm light sometime. When we get up in the middle of the night and it's cloudy at night, no moon shining, it is really dark, we think, boy, darkness prevails. No, there's some light someplace. In the morning light, when the sun comes on and that crack of the day comes, that light is going to penetrate through the darkness. Light always wins. It always has, and it always will. The Bible says that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Bible also said, we just read it, that Jesus is the life and He is the light of the world. Folks, we have got to come to the light. Brother Leroy sings about the light sometimes in some of our choruses and some of our songs. Jesus will always prevail. He's always something that you can count on. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God's grace is more powerful than darkness. And you're always walking with God and walking in light. And you have become a new creature. And old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. We covered 2 Corinthians 5:17 pretty thoroughly, I think. And, of course, those messages will be on the Internet, and Brother Leroy is diligently working to put those on the Internet. I would urge you to share these with other people and give them the website address so that they can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember what we talked about earlier. Let's be very much in prayer for Brother George, Brother Ken, and for others who in our church are sick and has procedures to go through and things to do, and overwhelming problems and situations and trauma in their lives. Let's be much in prayer about this. Let's be much in prayer about a new ministry in the church. It's going to be designed specifically for children. And let's pray that God will send us somebody who will lead that ministry. There's a lot of things we need to pray about. I love you. I love seeing you on Sunday. I love seeing you through the week. God bless you. And say hello to somebody before you leave today, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Russell if he'll dismiss us today in prayer.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have to hear your word through our pastor. Let us take it all to heart. Let us do what we think God wants us to do.
Amen.
You can't make them. Let us go throughout the week, let us do what we can to spread your word so that others may enjoy what we so much have.
Amen. Amen. Amen.